Turn your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 11. The first part of John chapter 11 is probably one of the favorite sections of most people that read the Bible. That's the death of Lazarus, a good friend of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and the exchange with his disciples before that as to the purpose of the delay of his trip to go see Lazarus, even though they knew that he was sick unto the point of dying. And then the discussion that he had with the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, as they understood there would be an end time resurrection, but they really didn't understand the concept of Jesus truly being the life and the resurrection that he was. And so you see great distress on their part, and they're crying. They're mourning the death of their brother. Jesus is weeping because he feels the pain that they feel, even though he knows what is about to happen. It doesn't diminish the fact that it hurts to see people hurting. He saw that. And you remember that Jesus had him go, take him to the place where Lazarus was buried. And Jesus says, take the stone back away. And they were a little distraught over that idea. They said, Lord, he didn't die today. He died 4 days ago. It is going to have quite a stench from the decay of that body when you roll that stone back. And so they're concerned about that, and yet Jesus has the stone rolled back. And then you see some incredible things happening. One, he prays, Jesus prays to the Father, and acknowledges that the Father has heard him even before he extends the prayer, which is an interesting concept. Lazarus has not come forth from the grave yet, and yet Jesus says to his Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He knew, he had the kind of faith in his Father to know what was about to transpire. And then you see other just great pictures that are in that particular scene as Lazarus is called forth from the grave. I don't know if you've ever thought about that concept before. I mean, just think in terms of what was Lazarus hearing as Jesus is calling, because Lazarus isn't really in there. I mean, his body is. So Lazarus is somewhere beyond the grave. Can you just, did someone hear me being called? Was that my voice or my name? Jesus calls him forth from wherever he was at that point. And he comes back. And he walks out of that tomb, and he's wrapped up, like they would typically wrap up anybody who had died. And Jesus said, somebody unwrap him. You can't leave a live man in dead man's clothes. Take those bindings off of him. I mean, what an incredible event, was it not? And you see the incredible power of God. You see the incredible power of Jesus. Not only power over sickness, as he had demonstrated before, or on occasion where Jesus had in fact healed somebody that had been blind from birth, and it said, wow, nobody's ever done this before. That's brand new. And now he takes a man who's been dead for 4 days, and he calls him forth, and reunites his spirit with his body, because we understand that death in Ecclesiastes, it tells us there's a separation. And the man goes back to dust, the spirit goes to be with God. And Jesus reunites them, not in the great resurrection at the end, but right then. And they get their brother back. And I want you to read with me if you would. We're familiar with the story, so I want to pick up all the way down in verse 45. Because I'm just telling you, if you saw that, there's no way that doesn't have an impact on you. Would you not agree with that? Just those that don't amen, just nod your head one way or the other. That had an impact. If you're standing around watching a dead man come out of the grave and Jesus says, somebody take the grave clothes off of him, I'm telling you, you don't walk away and not remember that. That has an impact on you. The power of God. And so they see that, and so what happens is, it says, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. Well, amen to that. whatever I felt before, when I see the Lord cause somebody to walk out of a grave that's been 4 days dead, I might have to reevaluate my whole thought process. It says many believed in him because they saw the incredible power of God. And we understand that's what miracles were for. When Jesus was performing miracles, it was so that they would understand he was who he said he was. That he was the Lord, that he was the Son of God on earth. And so they got to witness that. And it says, many believed. Now that's interesting because when you read about the Jews at the resurrection of Jesus, it didn't happen the same way. Isn't it interesting that many believed when they saw Lazarus come forth from the grave, but when Jesus himself has been crucified and comes forth from the grave, not many believed. And he continued to appear, and eventually more and more believed, but this had an impact on people. This was an incredible event. And I would tell you, that's kind of true today. People see some incredible things when they read the Word of God, and they get to understand who he is and witness what God has done in this world. And yet they still don't believe. In Romans, he says, you know what? They look around and they see the incredible creation that we're a part of. He says, and they ought to understand, they ought to believe. He says, but they don't. Does that ever amaze you? That people can look at this world we're a part of and say, wow, that just happened. I loved an article that I read the other day about one of the games where you have to, video games, where you have to build cities and fortresses and all that stuff. And the whole article was about a guy who was just sitting at his keyboard. He was waiting for them to build themselves. He just thought maybe they'd come together. If he gave him enough time, all those things would just build themselves. And it was just a satire on the concept of those who deny creation. An incredible event. Some believed, some did not. Think about the rich man and Lazarus. Different Lazarus, but think about that particular story. Because you remember the rich man said, you know what, please, let me go back. I'm here, I've lost my soul because I didn't believe, I didn't follow God. Let me go back and talk to my brothers. Because if I go back and talk to them, they will surely believe. If somebody appears from the dead, and we live in a culture sometimes that just says, if we could see what they saw, maybe we'd believe differently. Remember what he was told? He says, no, they're not going to believe. Even if somebody goes back from the dead, they're not going to believe. They have Moses and the prophets. They don't believe them. What makes you think they're going to believe now? That's the key. He says, we have this. I believe, and I read stories like Jesus raising Lazarus, and what does that do but make our faith stronger because we understand who he is? But here's the part of the story that I think is interesting. This is one of my favorite passages in maybe all the New Testament. It's a unique passage. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. He left. We're told Jesus left Bethany after he raised Lazarus. People were as typical. People were after him. The Pharisees wanted to capture him. They didn't like what he was doing. So he left. He went to Ephraim, it says. And he comes back 6 days before the Passover. And they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served. And Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. I just want you to think about that for a minute. Because that's an incredible scene. We had a chance to sit around two tables, two different homes yesterday. Sat with the Bettises and we reminisced about a lot of things. We've known them for quite a while. We've had some vacation type trips with them where we're at the same place. And we laugh about those things and have those memories and stimulate all of that. We had at the Blankenships before that. Didn't know them before I got here. But then you find out you got common ties. And still, the conversations are still the same around the table. People are reminiscing about memories, you know, remembering a story here or a story there. That's what dinner conversation is, isn't it? We just sit around. How'd you like to have been at this table? Hey, remember last week when you were dead? Wow. I mean, I've had some great dinner table conversations. But what would that be like? We're remembering Epcot, We're remembering playing ball and things like that. And they're sitting around the table. How could you not think that, whether you said it or not? You're reclining at a table and you're thinking, wait, you were dead last week. It's a fantastic picture that God is providing for us. A dead man at the table. I can think that way. Can you not? I can think in terms of, hey, you remember, Mark, when you were dead in college? Before you came to the Lord? You remember that? You remember when you were dead? Because Ephesians says we were dead in our trespasses. And that's what the Lord wants me to understand. And every time I gather around this table, what is He saying to me? But remember when you were dead, but now you're alive. And why are you alive? Because I gave my life for you. And every time we partake of this supper, it is a reminder to us. It is a memorial that stands, that testifies to us. You were a dead man or a dead woman, but we are now alive. Why? Because He is alive. What a fantastic picture that is in John chapter 12. Because we gather here today a group who were literally dead men who are now at the table with Jesus Christ. We commune with Him. We share this supper with Him today at His table. This isn't a meal that was prepared for Him. This is a memorial meal that was prepared by Him giving His life for us. He says, dead man at the table. What a great thought. And so every time I partake of the bread or that fruit of the vine, every time, my thought process ought to be, wow, Lazarus sat down with the Lord and ate after he was a dead man and came back to life. And I get the chance every Lord's Day to share in the supper of the Lord with my Lord when I was dead and have been brought back to life. That's the nature when we came into that relationship with Him, raised out of a watery grave because we died to sin and live for Him, all because of what He has done. When you continue in John chapter 12, remember, that's the incident then where it talks about Mary breaking that jar and the ointment and the sweet-smelling fragrance, how it filled the room. Do we understand that's the aroma to our Lord today? When those who were dead and have demonstrated their faith in Him are now alive and we partake, don't you just know that that is a sweet-smelling aroma going before God as He sees His people sharing in the supper that He has made possible that provides our resurrection. If the men who are going to be serving would want to come to the front, we have a great opportunity to not only partake, but Jesus says in doing so, we are proclaiming something about Him to the world. May we be thrilled every time we have the opportunity to proclaim to the world that we were dead and now we sit at the table with our Lord.